caught up in our plans, in our passions, in our concerns, in our wants, that I wonder sometimes if we really remember when God in His might moved in our midst. See, life happens suddenly. So we think. But God has done great things for us. God is planned and is moving according to His plan. We've all been studying the Fearless book by Max Sicado. Well, he wrote another book. And in his other book, it's The Eye of the Storm. And he gives this analogy of suddenlies. Chippy was a parakeet. And he never saw what happened coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. And the next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean the cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachments from the end of the vacuum cleaner and stuck the hose in the cage, and about that time the telephone rang, and as she turned to answer the phone, Chippy got sucked down. The owner of the bird gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, I'm not sure in which order, tore open the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive, but quite stunned. The bird was covered from beak to toe in dust and soot. The owner grabbed the bird up and raced into the bathroom, and turning the bathroom water on, stuck her under the water. And then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate owner would do, grabbed the blow dryer and blew him dry with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him, why it hit him, what he could have done to avoid it hitting him. A few days later, after the trauma, a local news reporter who had heard about the story contacted Chippy's owner and wanted to know if the bird was recovering well. And the owner said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just sits and stares." It's hard to see why. It's not hard, rather, to see why. Sometimes we feel sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's about how it feels at times when suddenlies happen to us. It certainly describes when trials come our way that we didn't prepare for. I'm reminded of a sign on an army chaplain's door that said, "If you have any troubles, come in and tell me about them. If you don't have any trouble, please come in and tell me how you've avoided them." See, life happens to us in suddenlies. Parents, you get the knock on the door. Anymore, it's not even a knock, it's the telephone. and the police are telling you that your son or daughter have been in a wreck. You go to work, you know things are tough, you think everything's all right. It's Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock and you're called into your boss's office. And you find that they're releasing you. Suddenlies happen. But they've always happened. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like to have been born in another time and in another place? I can say this today because Jan's not here. She had this fantasy one time of what great privilege it would have been to have been born back in the covered wagon days and taking a trip over to California. And I just kind of burst out laughing. I said, to you, camping out is anything below a four-star hotel, and you want to be in a covered wagon? I don't think so. But we all have those fantasies. And I think we're in a period of time and a period of transition in today's word where I think my fantasy would be. There had been what's commonly referred to as a couple of thousand years of silence. No prophets. The children of Israel were kind of left to mature and grow and hopefully find their own way. Today's gospel really quotes Isaiah 40 when it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the deserts, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. They had lived with that promise for a long time. It's really interesting that the last verse of the last chapter of the Old Testament says the same thing. It's a promise. You would think people would be looking forward to something happening. And I believe they were in their own carefully planned agenda. See, we like to plan things, especially you women. Guys, not so much. Women, y'all are planners. Y'all are plotters. I mean, early in my marriage, the biggest fights Jan and I had, and it finally dawned on me, is I didn't have the cue cards that she was going from. I would come home, and she had this whole conversation planned out. And she would say, and I would say, and she would say, and I would say, and I never said. And then I'd go, what happened? I think I'll go back to work. At least there I knew who the enemy was. And finally it dawned on me one day, I said, Jan, I'm sorry, I left the cue cards. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You've planned this conversation out, tell me my next words. She didn't like that. But it broke the ice in our communication. Ladies, if you got the conversation planned out, don't forget to tell your husband his part. He will blow it. But this time is unique. It is kind of like, and I used this term last week, a time in between times, a time in between events. And we have the neatest guy come on the scene. We meet him when Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, goes and visits Elizabeth. And the baby leaped within her womb. And the Spirit of God came over that child. And it was acknowledged that Mary was carrying the Christ. But John, only 6 months earlier in the womb, acknowledged it. And so we have this man named John, born into the house of a priest, Zechariah, and whose mother was a relative of the mother of Jesus. They were royal in their lineage. They were holy in their thoughts. I am sure discussions around the table talked of the things of God as John grew up. But we only have this clip of John, and then we don't hear anything more from him for 30 years. But the time that he was in, the place in which he was born, was in eyeshot of Mount Nebo, where Moses had viewed and longed for the promised land, where he had spoke of the promised Messiah. He was at home overlooking the Jordan where Joshua had crossed and where Jericho had fallen. He was in the middle of where history had happened. He played in the brooks where the ravens fed Elijah. He was surrounded in his presence by history. In Jacksonville, history? Well, I think Indians were around here somewhere. I know I've blessed enough land that had been cursed because things had happened in their past, but we don't have a sense of eons of history as the children of Israel even to this day do. And John was born in this process of history, and I think he understood it. And yet, all we know of John from that point, that glimpse of the picture of him in the womb leaping because the Christ child in the womb of Mary, his mother, had entered the room 30 years later. And there was this recluse who was living in the desert, eating locusts and wild honey. Now, I found an interesting article about locusts. That was a very good meal. I mean, can you imagine a swarm of locusts is coming and your husband runs in, get the net, get the net, the locusts are coming, we're going to eat tonight. They either sun-dried them or baked them. And my understanding is they tasted like shrimp. I knew you were going to say chicken. We compare everything to chicken. Why they compared it to shrimp, I don't know. But they supposedly had a little crunch. Maybe it was shrimp with the shell still on. I don't know. But here's a man that lived in the desert. We assume by his background and training, he knew God. And he was patiently marking his time. And then I can see him living in this cave in this desert, and the bell rings, and it's the Most High calling him up. It's his time to go forward. A man who had but one simple job. Repent. The Christ child is near. The Messiah is coming. And what's really interesting about John is he lived on the bank of the Jordan and he never went into the city. People heard about him and they came out to him. And people repented because he called them to repentance. You know, there are pastors today that are afraid to say, repent and be saved because people might not come back. That's all John talked about. And people flocked to him. And then at the height, the zenith of his popularity, when he was doing his thing, and baptizing, Jesus walked onto the scene. And we have that conversation where I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, you got to baptize me. And John baptized Jesus. And we quickly see John giving up his ministry. For there's another you must follow. And all John's life, until he was done in by skullduggery, was to point the way, not to the coming Messiah, but to the present, now, here, living Messiah, Son of God, Jesus Christ. Old Jesus had been spoken of by the prophets. Everybody was aware that he's coming, just like everyone in this room is aware that he's coming again. Advent was about Jesus coming. Advent is about he's coming again. I often wonder if we'll be as unprepared as the chosen children were when first Christ came. See, because we plan and prod, and we know exactly how it's going to happen. It's kind of like I've even gone through this phase. I look up in the morning, and if God is not splitting the eastern sky, I got it made today. I got one more day. Because the Word says he's going to come with all the angels. He's going to be on a white horse, and he's going to split the sky, and we're all going to see him at one time. And that just must be in the morning. I think we're going to be surprised when he comes. But God called on a hermit who lived out in the hills to stand before world powers as they're outlined so clearly in Luke's gospel today. I mean, you want historical context for the scriptures of God? You got it in Luke. You know who the tetrarchs were. You know who was the head of the church was. Everybody is played out. That's set. We have an established time. And God, and John was bodacious enough to stand before him and say, prepare ye the way. Repent, for the living God is coming. Things are about to change. Your norm is about to take on a new norm. Life will never be the same again. As when Christ came into our lives, I can't imagine any one of you could tell me that your life pre-Christ and your life post-Christ was the same. Unless you were saved in the womb and you can honestly tell me you've never sinned. But we live our life, saints of God, we live our life planning our own way. I can't tell you how many times I've done counseling, and it's obvious to me, As it was obvious to me when Jan and I was first married, that I didn't have the script that she was using because she hadn't given me my note card so I could play the role correctly. It's obvious to me in counseling. People come into counseling not to be told what the Word of God says, but be told, you're okay. You can do exactly what you want. The church stands behind you. And often they find we don't.